Did you hear the one about the monk? He belonged to a monastery in which there was complete silence, except that every 5 years a monk could say 2 words to the abbot. So after 5 years, the monk said, "Food cold." Another 5 years passed, and this time he told the abbot, "Bed hard." Then after 15 years, he said to the abbot, "I quit." The abbot said, "I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain the whole time you've been here." Well, I'm not here to tell jokes all morning. I'm here to talk about how our hearts can be full of joy. You've probably already experienced joy this morning. We've done some extra singing and reading together. Joy is a feeling as well as an attitude. And doing things that are joyful, such as singing, can help us to remember the joy in our hearts and in our lives. We need to choose joy. Laughter and humor are expressions of joy, but they are not joy itself. Have you ever known anyone who is easygoing, managing to handle whatever comes along, and rarely, like the monk, ever complains? That person has a kind of deep joy that creates equilibrium. Even such a wise one has ups and downs, but most of the time maintains a balance when the stormy waters rock the boat. That evenness comes from the sense of joy that one is doing the best one can. That kind of joy also comes from faith, a feeling that the future can be better than the present. We choose joy because it affirms our faith and, as one of our hymns says, makes our own days glad. Unitarian Universalists do not all believe the same thing, as I'm sure you're aware in this church. But we do agree that each one of us can contribute to the wisdom of the whole. That wisdom can help each one of us grow spiritually in such a way that we feel grounded, that we feel secure in an insecure world, that we can let go of the need for control and the need for all the answers, so that we can smile and say, "This is what I know, and this is what I can never know, and it's all right." And mean it. If we can do that, we will have hearts full of joy indeed. Remember when the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004? It had been 86 years since they had won, but fans kept rooting for them and saying at the end of each year of loss, "Wait till next year." And so the win was sweeter because the fans who had been faithful for so long were rewarded. At my school, the students periodically have a talent night that we call the coffee house. Many of the students are very good musicians and writers. I like humor, so I usually do some stand-up routine or read my humorous verses. And one of my favorite acts is How to Know If You're a Liberal. It's sort of a takeoff on Jeff Foxworthy's How to Know If You're a Redneck. My opening is usually, "If you're new in a town and you're looking for a church and you choose one by how many Volvos are in the parking lot, chances are you're a liberal. I wrote that about 10 years ago now, so now we would probably have to use Priuses instead of Volvos. We've all heard the jokes about how many church people it takes to screw in a light bulb, depending on what denomination you're in. Religion can be fun, just like the rest of our lives. If we take either too seriously, it's going to be a sad journey indeed. There are many ways to find joy in our faith. Rabindranath Tagore, the Indian writer and Nobel laureate, some of whose writings are in our hymnal, wrote, "I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I woke and saw that life is service. I acted and behold, service was joy." Service is a major component of Unitarian Universalist spiritual practice. Theodore Parker asked us to imagine a church of service where members felt that humanity is great and that we help to heal the woes of humanity and loose the chains that have bound it. Indeed, the covenant of this church asserts that we serve humanity in fellowship. But why would service bring us joy? The world tells us that buying what they have to sell us is what brings us joy, because otherwise we won't be well regarded in the community. A man named Steve was grocery shopping one day, and a young man about 16 years of age was blocking the aisle. As the young man called out to his mother, Steve could see that the young man was mentally challenged. When the young man noticed Steve, his eyes widened, and so Steve asked his name. "My name is Denny, and I'm shopping with my mother," he said. Steve introduced himself, and the two had a happy conversation until the mother came back. She told Steve that most people wouldn't even look at Denny, much less talk to him. But Steve saw Denny as a blue rose, a very rare but needing to be noticed flower in the garden of life. Steve brought joy into other people's lives by taking the time to feel it himself. Father James Martin, who wrote the book Between Heaven and Mirth, says that service takes us out of ourselves. It liberates us from the self-enclosed prison. We look outward and we do not concentrate on our troubles. Instead, we are grateful. Service brings us into contact with people in a new way that expands our spiritual life as we contemplate the conditions that others face and our response to them. Service can be fun. A walk for the hungry, for the homeless, for cancer research. All can be a fun event that we share with like-minded people. One of the joys I have had as a Unitarian Universalist is attending the General Assembly in 2003 when it was held here in Boston. Did anyone else attend that? Has anyone else gone to any of the other General Assemblies? They're a lot of fun, aren't they? What I found so wonderful was seeing so many UUs in one place. What was so joyous was singing together with 12,000 Unitarian Universalists at the Fleet Center. I will not be able to go to the one in Arizona this year, but I encourage those who can to give it a try. It is so affirming on a personal and congregational scale to actually see and participate with so many other UUs. And this year, it will concentrate on an act of service, standing on the side of love regarding immigration issues. Hearts will be full of joy. Part of the joy that people will feel there is the self-expression of one's own faith. No doubt you have in your life had to make decisions or take actions that verified for you where you stand on a moral issue. You have given of your time for this church because you are committed to what it stands for, what it does for you and your family, and how you feel the sense of community here that you do not feel elsewhere. Here you get to express your concerns and your joys. Here you get to be real. People here do not fit the H.L. Mencken's definition of Puritanism, the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. Here you get to use your intelligence in discussions about faith issues. Here you get to shepherd your children into a faith that can last a lifetime and introduce them to a faith community that can include them throughout their spiritual and life journeys. One of the ways that we can include the spirit of joy in our everyday lives is through a phrase I have been using here. I have a daily almanac written by the artist Jill Brodansky called The Almanac. One of the most useful things I found in it is her use of the phrase, "Today I get to." Rather than the usual, "Today I have to do this or that," we can change how we look at life by saying, "Today I get to do this or that." So often in these days of 24/7 connections to the office, electronic equipment with its costs, maintenance, and technological upgrades faster than the speed of light, we've begun to think of everything as a chore. At the beginning of the semester, I suddenly realized I would have 100 papers to write or events to attend within 100 days. Only 1 week into the term, I was already feeling that whatever I was doing, I should be doing the next thing, and therefore should cut my conversation short, my attention span short. When I came to my senses, I cut back on my schedule and simplified. Now, when I am with other people, I am present to them. And the items on my schedule are viewed less as things I have to do and more as things I get to do. Father Martin says, technological society has surrounded us with a multiplying of opportunities for pleasure, but it has great difficulty in generating joy. For joy comes from another source. It is spiritual. Losses will come, and we must not ignore how they feel. But we also note that a loss means we had a blessing and a joy. When we remember our blessings, the joy that is our life returns to us. So don't miss a minute of joy. Life is so short. Stage celebrations whenever you can. Light candles of joy at home as well as in church. Mark the milestones of your life and notice the smaller ones. Let the people around you see that you are a beacon of love and hope and not gloom and doom. Dance when you get a chance and sing out your stress till your heart is full of joy again. Cultivate a strong faith that will be your anchor in a storm. Find a way to share your faith in action and celebration. Life is not meant to be endured. It is meant to be enjoyed. We are meant to have hearts full of joy.